Opening day at Oshkosh brings cause for optimism. EAA is already too successful with one air venture effort. And you won't believe what Sonix showed us Sunday afternoon. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Welcome to Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, July 27th, 2009. As EAA executives hold their collective breath to see how attendance looks on opening day this year, they can take some encouragement from advance registrations for AirVenture, which are reportedly running ahead of last year. There's also word from the International Council of Air Shows that attendance at shows tracked by the council remains on a strong uptrend this year, to the point of causing a nice problem to have. ICAS President John Cudahy explains, quote, "As an example, many of the air shows with increased attendance are also reporting horrific parking and traffic problems. We want to make sure that our members are well aware of the trend so they have plenty of time to make adjustments to their original plan, if necessary," unquote. The Experimental Aircraft Association seems to have the Wi-Fi working pretty well this year throughout the camping areas, and Camp Scholar even has some new flush toilets. But that doesn't mean the infrastructure isn't showing some stress. EAA this year introduced a webcam allowing visitors to watch arrivals at AirVenture. It didn't last too long. On Saturday, EAA members got an email that said in part, quote, "The response was so overwhelming, we had to take the website offline for a few days. We're sorry for any inconvenience and are especially grateful for your patience and understanding. But now we're happy to report that Oshkosh 365 is back up and running," unquote. Well, sort of. If you've tried to access the EAA or AirVenture websites this week, things are still dragging. It's probably not your computer. Just give it a day or two. Proving that they're resourceful, budget-minded, and not afraid of self-deprecating humor, the folks at Sonix Aircraft chose the eve of AirVenture to introduce a new small personal jet on Sunday. The name of the concept aircraft, Subsonix, is a technically accurate play on words, but with an empty weight of just 335 pounds and up to 200 pounds of thrust from a tiny turbojet spawned of the radio-controlled model aircraft world, projected performance with half fuel is 2,000 feet per minute climb and 240 knots cruise. Given the company's recent emphasis on the fuel efficiency of its piston kit planes and the E-Flight initiative, which may free us from fossil fuels completely, I had to ask designer John Monette how a 30-gallon-per-hour single-place jet plays against the politically correct backdrop of other company projects.
Well, pretty simple. It was originally called the Peanut Project, and we're looking at studying alternate for fuels. I've been saving a carbon footprint for a long time with all of our airplanes. It's about time I, splurge a little bit and have something that's really fun.
You can hear that entire interview on the Aero News special feature and see the plane on Aero TV later this week. Up next on ANN, Continental gets FAA certification for its most advanced IO-550. Vans now has RV-12s flying under both SLSA and ELSA. And Comlux is expanding in Indianapolis. You're listening to Aero News.
Fly wise with the visionary new Piper Jets wide-open six-seat comfort and stellar performance. Single Williams turbofan FJ44-3AP engine. Maximum cruise speed, 360 knots true. Range, 1,300 nautical miles. Useful load, 800 pounds. Maximum operating altitude, 35,000 feet. Optional seventh seat or lavatory. The Piper Jet, no compromises. To learn more about the new Piper Jet, visit us at Oshkosh Booths 140 through 143 and 158 through 161. Log on to Piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 27th. I'm Paul Plack. Two Oshkosh exhibitors got exciting news from the FAA as they were packing up to head for the event last week. Continental Teledyne Motors on Friday received FAA certification of the new FADEC version of its TSIOF 550 turbocharged flat six. TCM President Rhett Ross calls the engine, quote, a product that has exceeded our expectations and will certainly impress airframe manufacturers, unquote. The engine makes 350 horsepower at 2,600 RPM and allows the pilot to select either best power or best efficiency mode, then handles mixture and other parameters with a single power control lever. You'll hear my interview with Rhett Ross, including his vision for the future of Continental, later this week on the Aero News special feature. On Tuesday last week, the FAA bestowed special light sport aircraft certification on Vans Aircraft's RV-12. The kit plane was first announced 3 years ago, and until last week, the Red Factory prototype was the only flying example. A day later, on Wednesday, Vans East Coast representative Mitchell Locke flew the first ELSA version of the plane. He built it in his Maryland shop, and it becomes the first RV-12 to be built outside the factory. The first flight of New Blue was deemed a success. The RV-12 features easily removable wings, simple construction, and traditional RV handling qualities. 250 RV-12 kits are under construction now in several countries. Despite gloomy predictions from some analysts about the midterm prospects for the business jet industry, some companies apparently are betting it will be back. Swiss-owned Comlux Completion says it will add 480 workers to its facility at Indianapolis International Airport over the next 5 years. Comlux provides custom interior work and refurbishment for business jets and other corporate aircraft at its Indianapolis facility. The Indianapolis Star reports the company plans to invest $46 million to upgrade its existing hangars and build a new one to accompany wide-body jets. Comlux bought Indianapolis Jet Center last fall. It currently employs about 90 people in two hangars. Comlux Completion CEO David Ettinger says the company plans to make Indianapolis one of the world's best VIP completion centers. Still ahead, will the Dreamliner fly this year? The FAA wants changes made to fuel systems on 777s. And Indian security officials have a do not frisk list. You're listening to Aero News.
Introducing the TWX 670 Tactical Weather Detection System. Avadyne's new TWX 670 is a third-generation lightning-based weather detection system that provides a simple and intuitive color-contoured display with an instantaneous picture of surrounding weather. Check us out online at www.avadyne.com or call 1-800-AVADYNE.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing from Monday, July 27th. I'm Paul Plack. Two unnamed engineers who claim to be close to the development of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner have told the Seattle Times the defect which resulted in the latest development delay may take Boeing some time to resolve. The two say the issue involves an area where the wing joins the fuselage, and it's caused by high stress loads at the ends of the stringers in the upper skin of the wing. As the wings flex during flight, the stress loads could cause the composite stringers to delaminate from the skin. The condition reportedly occurred during wing flex tests. The engineers said while this was not likely to lead to catastrophic failure, it would require constant and expensive monitoring and repair over the aircraft's life. The engineers told the Times that Boeing's focus now is on repairing the current Dreamliners so testing can resume, and that it's not clear how the problem will be solved for production 787s. The FAA is taking public comments on proposed mandatory safety measures designed to address an uncommanded loss of thrust issue, which could affect some Boeing 777 airliners. The proposal was prompted by last year's accident in which British Airways Flight 38 lost thrust on approach to London Heathrow and crashed short of the runway. There were no fatalities. Reuters reports investigators trace the cause to icing, which can, quote, result in an unacceptable engine power loss and loss of control of the airplane, unquote. Affected are 220 planes with Rolls-Royce engines. About 50 of those are registered in the U.S. The proposed requirement to install new fuel oil heat exchangers would include a deadline of January 2011. Comments will be open through August 24th. And finally today, India has an interesting variation on airport security that you might call a do not frisk list. A flap developed last week in which former Indian President APJ Abdul Kalam took umbrage at being screened before he boarded a Continental flight to the U.S. It created an international incident, but Continental said it was just following procedures required by the U.S. Transportation Security Administration. Now, the Times of India reports the TSA is standing behind the airline. On the agency's website, a statement reads in part, quote, "While traveling from an international location to the U.S. on a U.S. commercial aircraft, former heads of state and other VIPs are screened according to the same screening procedures as any other passenger," unquote. If you think this is a case of cultural difference, not so fast. I listened to some TSA screeners speaking off the record on a recent trip through a U.S. airport, and some related cases in which U.S. federal lawmakers have been angered by the requirement to be screened just like the rest of us. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about his first ever VFR flight into Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.